saying that. We, there's so many things now. The Satan is just like the Sunday school lesson this morning, that warfare is going on. It's not, I mean, people's not out there shooting guns at you, but there's a spiritual warfare, and Satan's doing a really good job to try to hinder anybody from believing in God. There was a piece in the paper the other day about Adam and Eve, how it was one of these scientists was trying to discredit Adam and Eve. And you take, if you discredit that, the first man and woman, then you discredit everything from that point on in the Bible. So, just like the Bible wouldn't be true. But Satan's at work. Satan's at work, and you know, it's I think you said this morning, it's our responsibility to take the battle to Satan. And you know, if we're not taking that battle to him, and he's going to take over. He's going to take over. The Lord's already won the war, but the battle is still raging. The battle is still raging. Souls are at stake. Souls, people's souls are at stake. So, someone else, something on your heart this morning.
Father, I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. We are truly blessed.
Amen. Someone else? If not, we'll continue on with the service. This is the Lord's service, and I believe anybody and everybody here knows that to just follow the Lord and do what God has to do. And we don't go by a set routine or a set service. We hope and pray that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will set it for us, that He'll direct it for us. So I appreciate all these good testimonies this morning. I'm going to take my reading lesson this morning out of the 17th chapter of the book of John. John chapter 17, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. I'll just start reading in verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he may give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God of Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifest thy name unto men which thou gavest me out of this world, out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out of thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." I'm going to stop my reading right there with this, and I have just a basic, simple thought this morning. It's something that seemingly I've heard a lot about of recent, and I've had on my thoughts for a few weeks. But it's a very simple thing, and actually, Brother Bert even mentioned it in Sunday school this morning, that about you can't lose your salvation. It's a very simple thought. Now, we live in a world today that there are many different types of, I guess, so-called religions that believe that you can lose it. But I say to that, you can't lose something that you never had. There are so many that claim a salvation and I guess, could go out into the world and they could sin and they could do all these different things, and that by doing that, they could actually lose their soul's salvation. And with what I know and understand, that'd be a scary proposition to think that that we had to keep our soul's salvation for ourselves to begin with. That there would be anything that we could do along the lines of keeping our salvation or obtaining our salvation or anything is another, I guess, another subject. But, so many people in this world, they believe in works and in many different things as means of salvation, and they believe that they have to continue to do these things to maintain that salvation. They continue to have to go to church and pay their tithes and do good, try to do good things and do good works to maintain their presence in the sight of God. So when that day comes at the end and when the scales is put up there, that all their good works and all their good things will outweigh, that the balance will tip to that side rather than tip to the bad. I mean, that's literally the way they perceive the things of salvation. But I believe most of us that are here today have a good understanding of that. And like I said, Brother Bert mentioned several things about it this morning in Sunday school even. We live in a time where everything that we do, we like a confirmation. We live in a time that if we buy something, we want a warranty on it. You know, and we want a signed contract that if this tears up within a certain period of time, then you're going to have to replace that. You know, we live in a world that there's no trust. You know, I guess back before my time, I guess, but still I can remember that in a time when a man's word was good enough. That if he said that he was going to do something, that he was honest enough and that he was upstanding enough, that if you bought something from him and it tore up, that he would replace it. That there wasn't a need for a contract or somebody to sign on a dotted line so somebody could take somebody to court and sue them because they didn't do what they're supposed to do. We've come into a world where there's no trust, and so everybody wants proof. They want proof in hand. They want to be able to see it, know it, and understand it. Now, we preach and teach of a salvation that you can know, that you can understand, that you can feel. But there's a world of people that are looking for a salvation. They're looking for somebody to sign on a dotted line and say, "Here, you've got it. Hold on to this piece of paper. This is your warranty. This is your proof." Because they don't have anything that they can feel or know or understand in their heart. And that's a very sad thing, but we live in those times. This insurance that we've been given, there's a Brother Burke mentioned this particular verse this morning in his teaching, and I'm not trying to go back over that again, but I didn't tell him to say it, and he didn't know I was going to preach it, so I'm gonna say it again. In the 10th chapter of the book of John, in verse 26, it says, "Believe ye not because, but ye believe not because ye are not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Well, there's some words written right there in red that is spoken by Jesus Christ it should be enough proof for anybody in the world to know and understand that when you truly have been saved by God's grace, that you're sealed. That there is something that is beyond our control. There's a power that is larger than us. It says here in this particular verse my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. He's greater than all. So if he's in control of my salvation, then I know that I'm in pretty good shape. The one that created the moon and the stars and this world and everything as we know it today, if he's the one that created it and he's in charge of it, then I'm in pretty good shape. And anybody else that's been truly been saved by God's grace is in good shape too. Brother Burt made the statement also this morning, you know, he said, you know, I lose my car keys. You know, just imagine what it would do if I had tried to keep up with my soul. Well, that's true. It's a very true fact, you know. I made the statement several times in my life that I'd forget my head if it wasn't attached to my shoulders. And that's just the way it is. But God has got these things under control. And I guess on a side note here, you know, there's many of us that know that and understand that, and they've taken that thought and they've run with it, and they've literally run with it. They've run right out the church doors. You know, I've been saved now. You know, my kids has been saved now, and that's important. That was the most important thing. But now that they're saved, I can do what I want to do. You know, I can go out and I can live the life that I want to live and do what I want to do because of that assurance that I've been given in my heart, that I know that I've been saved. I can do that. And, I know I'm going to have to answer for this, but everybody else is doing this, and everybody else is doing this, and I want to do this, and it's a holiday weekend, and I want to be over here, I want to be doing this, and, you know, it's important that we understand some things about our salvation this morning. None of these thoughts that I have is anything new. But, you know, you think about, when we think about salvation, and we think about the Lord keeping it, we many times often don't think about what it all means, and we get into the actual understanding of it. The Bible tells us several things that, you know, that we're sealed and that we're chosen and that we're predestinated and all the many different aspects of these things. But we can turn over and look into the book of Ephesians, if you would, with me this morning. And just for a few verses, I'm going to start reading verse 9 in the book of Ephesians. It says, "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance." Now, I want you to remember the word inheritance. We've obtained an inheritance. being predestinated according to the purpose of him which who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom we also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I'm going to stop my reading right there. I want us to look at the word inheritance for a second. It says that once we've been saved by God's grace, that we've inherited something. I guess you can think about over in the book of 1 Peter, it talks about that we are a holy priesthood. Those of us that have been saved by God's grace, we're a holy priesthood, a chosen generation. We've been purchased. We're a peculiar people. Over in 1 Peter, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The word peculiar here, I've stated many times before, has a meaning of purchased. We have been purchased. Our salvation was a free gift to us. When we come to the understanding of our soul's condition, the Holy Spirit of God showed us that we were separated. The Holy Spirit of God convicted us and showed us that we were sinners. The Holy Spirit of God pointed us to Jesus Christ and convicted us of our sins. And the Holy Spirit of God came into us when God gave grace and saved our souls. Our salvation is wholly of God. Completely of God. So, since Christ died for us, he paid a debt for us. The sins for the whole wide world, as a matter of fact. He paid that debt on that cross for our sins. He shed his blood. It says in 1 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 6 and verse 20, it says, he shed his blood to pay the price. Paid the price for us. So when you look at it from the aspect that somebody else paid a price and gave us something, that makes us all debtors. We're all debtors to Christ that has died for us and paved the way for us that whosoever believeth in him might not perish but have everlasting life. Believing and trusting in him with all their heart. We're debtors to Christ. We owe him. We owe him this morning for his soul's, for him dying and for our soul's salvation. We don't think of our salvation often that much like that. We don't think that we're debtors, I'm afraid, many times. We just think that it's something that we have that's given us an assurance that we're going to be in heaven one day. And that is a true statement. But I truly believe that if we think of it to the point that we are truly debtors, that we'll be more willing and earnest in our service to him. Because I don't know about y'all, but you know, you want to try to go to work to pay your bills, don't you? You want to try to make sure that you get enough work time in during the week so you can pay your mortgage, so you can pay your car payment, so you can pay your light bill. You're very, very diligent about taking care of the business here while you're here upon earth, about paying the bills and doing all those things that we're supposed to do, because we want that easy way of lifestyle. We want our lights on. We want our water running. You know? We don't want to have to do without all these things. We want a house to live in. We don't live in a tent. So we work. We're diligent about these things. And we make sure with everything we can that we get our bills paid on time and we do everything we're supposed to do. Well, that diligence should also be enforced and instilled into our minds, as in that we owe the Lord continually, day in and day out. We'll never, there's nothing that we can ever do to repay him. I know that we can all sit here today and we can not know the joys that lies ahead. I know that we can read about what the Bible says that heaven is going to be, but I don't think that we can fully fathom or know or understand, have a glimpse of what heaven is truly going to be like and the joys and all the things that is awaiting us. But we can know this. We can know that there's something in us that lets us know that we're going to be there. And we can know that the reason that something in us is there is because Christ died to pay for our sin debt. He did it for us because He loves us. And it goes back to us. The earnest that's spoken of down there. You know, you pay down. You pay down earnest money. And you want to, you pay money down for it. Well, that earnest, that what the Holy Spirit placed in our heart when the Lord saved our soul, that hope, that feeling of peace and that understanding that heaven is going to be our home, that's just a down payment of what heaven is going to be. You know, it was mentioned in Sunday school this morning about one of these days, you know, while we're still battling in this old fleshly body, but one of these days, we're going to have a glorified body. There's not going to be anything about this body that's wrong. It's going to be perfect. When we go to heaven, it's going to be perfect. There's not going to be any sin in it. It's all, you know, and I made the statement that I know it's going to feel different. I know it's going to be different. It's going to be a glorious thing. That Holy Spirit, that seal, that's just to let us know. That's the down payment on an eternal salvation with heaven, in heaven, with our Lord and Savior. That's a down payment. And it lets us know and understand what we have. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Jesus paid all the price. He gave us, He purchased us, and He gave us that salvation. He gave us that feeling. We have God, the Father, that is in charge of it. No man can take it out of His hand. If somebody's got a salvation that they can lose, I'm worried about their salvation. I'm truly worried about their salvation. If you have a salvation here this morning that you think that you can lose, then you don't have salvation. You don't have the salvation that I've got. Now I know that we have times in our life that we stray apart from God, and we seem like that we're away from Him, and that we are out of His will. We're not doing what God would have us to do, and things are rough and hard. And I know I've been that way in my life. I don't know if you have or not, but I have. I strayed away from God, and it would almost feel like that you could have lost your salvation, or that you would have lost your salvation, because that joy and that peace that you had while you were serving Him and doing what He wanted you to and trying to stay in the will of God, that it's just not right there. That comfort that you want and that you need. But it ain't gone. God's still standing right at the same place that He always was. It's you that walked off. And when you turn around and walk back to Him, He's still right there. He's right there in that same spot, waiting for you. Outstretched arms. Waiting for you to come back to Him. And that reassurance is right there. I know the Bible talks about, where is it? Over here in First Corinthians, it tells us about 1 Corinthians 3, I believe, where it tells us about, 1 Corinthians 3, start at verse, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another built thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man build upon his foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, if we try to throw anything else in there that's not according to the Lord or His will, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. I believe that when we're out of the will of the Lord and we're not doing what He wants to do, that, it's pretty plain here to me. We're going to suffer loss. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be heartaches. There's going to be sorrow. We're going to suffer loss. But I also believe just exactly what it says right here. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. I truly believe that with all my heart. He blesses me far beyond anything that I deserve. In the very little bit that I've done in my life for Him, I've let Him down far more than I've ever done for Him. And He still blesses me beyond anything I deserve. I'm so thankful for that this morning. The Bible tells us that we are sealed. You know, it's this something that we are sealed. This is sealed in us. You couldn't go to the hospital and have open heart surgery and the surgeon cut it out. It's not going to happen. It's sealed. It's stamped. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 through 23, it says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now He which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God." See, He which confirms us is God. He doesn't confirm it. He's the one that lets you know what you got. He's the one that allows you to understand what you got. "Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." He sealed it. He's given us the earnest of that Spirit, the understanding, that down payment of the Holy Spirit. Here it is. You can feel, you've got something that you can feel, that you can know, that you can understand. Here's a down payment on it. Remember. Remember where it comes from. Give God honor and glory. Remember where it comes from. Look on over in Ephesians 4 and 30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, where you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Grieve Him not. Holy Spirit don't want anybody to be chastened. He don't want bad things for us. But the Holy Spirit is God. When God reaches down and gets a hold of us to pull us back in line, you're going to feel it. You're going to know it. It's just like a father chastening their children, or a mother chastening their children. They're going to know it. They're going to feel it. They're going to understand it. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. Don't grieve Him. 2 Timothy. I got a few more verses and then I'll be finished. But I'm just trying to make this point this morning. We're sealed. 2 Timothy 2 and 19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." The Lord knoweth. He knows us. He knows us. Bible says there are those that, you know, our names are written in a book. Yeah. The Lamb's Book of Life. My name's in there and I know it. I didn't see him write it down. He didn't hand me a piece of paper showing me my name was on it. But I know that it's there. I have that hope and that understanding. I have that earnest in the Holy Spirit of God that He's there and my name's on that book. And I'm so very thankful for that this morning. As we think about that, these things this morning, just know that it's our responsibility to always try to give everything to our Lord. Back over to Ephesians 1 and 4, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. This is the reason, unto the praise of His glory. That we would praise Him, honor Him, and glorify His name. That's what He expects for us. From us that have been saved by God's grace. To praise Him, to lift His name, to honor and glorify Him. That's the reason we was born into this world. To give God honor and glory. That's my message this morning. Hope that it's been pleasing to God. And that I did lift His name. But to be a thought or a word on anyone's heart. If not, I'll stand and we'll be dismissed. Just remember the prayer request that's been made. No services tonight.
Everybody knows this is a holiday weekend, so we won't have services tonight. But as everybody can see, we have a lot of people out, and they'll probably be traveling on roads to and from their destinations. Let's remember each one in prayer. May God would be with them, and they might have a safe trip.
Anything else? If not, Brother Jimmy, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer?
Father, we thank you this day for your many blessings. Thank you for the message that was brought to us. Most of all, Father, we thank you for that salvation. Pray that you go with us. We go our separate ways. Lead us, guide us. Let us do our thing to please in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, I wasn't sure.